Our study tonight is out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23, discerning the sin nature's deeds from the Holy Spirit's fruit. Many New Testament passages teach the need for believers in Christ to live righteously, but the experience of many is a personal failure to achieve that righteous life, what leaves them frustrated and discouraged. At times, believers ignorantly function by their sin nature, so they need to discern this to make the correction. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23, lists the sin nature's deeds versus the Holy Spirit's fruit, and it gives that kind of discernment as follows. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23. Now the works of the flesh, that's a theological term for the sin nature, are manifest, or are obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which practice such things as a way of life shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, Paul claimed that the deeds of the sinful nature are plainly to be seen, phaneros, and then he clarified them in a list. Now that list is given in Galatians 5:19b to 21a, and we translate the Greek words for these deeds. You know, I read through the King James Version, but I wanted to go further than that. Look right at the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, and it helps to clarify what these are. The first word is porneia, and that comprises every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. Porneia is sort of the catch-all word. It's often used just for fornication, which is unlawful sexual union between people who are not married. But actually, porneia is used in the New Testament for any kind. It could be homosexuality as well as adultery and the fornication as we know it. But it's every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse, unlawful according to the law of God, in violation of God's law. Akatharsia means viciousness in sexual sins. This is where someone is involved in a sexual sin, but in doing so, they're abusive in the process. And that's what the word actually means. Aselgeia means excessive sexual sensuality. Now, that may involve in the sexual act, it may not. But any type of excessive sensuality that is sexual, aselgeia, could be the way a person dresses, trying to attract or seduce someone else. It could be an action that a person takes. It's any type of sexual pornography is often something that fits within this realm as well. Idolatria is the technical word for idolatry. Pharmakeia, we get the word pharmacy from this, but it doesn't really mean pharmacy, but magic arts or sorcery. Drugs happen to have been used in the ancient arts of sorcery, magic, and that's probably why they've got the word pharmakeia for drugs that we use today. But these are magic arts or sorcery. Ekthra. Ekthra means enmity. A better word for us is animosity. It's an attitude of animosity. It's not full-blown hatred, but there's an animosity towards a person's lovelessness. Eris is strife or discord or contention. That's where the animosity actually shows up in action, comes out in words, comes out in an argument, that kind of a thing. Zelos. Now, we have another word later, thanos, down number 13, which is envy. But zelos is the word primarily jealousy in envy. Zelos, we always also get the word zeal from it. It has probably more of the spike of a force to it. It's a jealousy with an added punch to it. Thumos, we get the word wrath from that. It means turbulent wrath. We've often thought that this actually means an explosion of wrath, or the wrath actually comes out and a person loses his cool and blows up. That's an expression that is of the sinful nature. Erechtheia is selfishness or selfish ambition, either one. Actually, selfish ambition is a product of being selfish. But self-centeredness, selfishness is erechtheia. Dikostasias, dissensions. These are dissensions. They're not full-blown divisions, but the person is always taking the opposite view, always trying to aggravate by taking the opposite view just for the sake of being difficult. Heresias. Now, we get the word heresy from this, but originally the word heresy meant a faction or a division or a clique. This is where people team up. You're on my side, and you're on your side, and you know, never the twain shall meet. It's the Hatfield and the McCoys. It's where they're, you know, banging heads against one another. That's what a heresy is. Now, heresies, we use the word heresy in a theological term today to refer to someone who goes off into a different group who has errant theology. Well, errant theology has produced heresies, but the original word heresy actually meant a division. And it could have been associated with a cultic view or an errant view. It doesn't have to be, but it's just a division. Thanos, that's envy. I'd have to do a word study to see what the fine points between the difference between number 8, zelos, and number 13, thanos. But jealousy, envy, either one of those is something that is a work of the flesh. It means a person's not satisfied with what he's been granted in life, so he has to lust after what somebody else wants. It's a form of covetousness, which is sin. And then methe is drunkenness, and along with this, this can be any substance abuse. It could be drugs. It could be hard drugs like coke and the opioids, but it could be a control by partaking. A lot of people have problems with drugs, taking pharmaceuticals over the drug counter drugs, that type of thing. When I was a kid, they found out that you could take aspirin, 2 aspirin, put it in the old-fashioned Coca-Cola, shake it up, and that could get you a little high too. I think they've changed some of the chemical composition of Coke, so that's it's a little harder to do. But drunkenness, methe, or substance abuse, and then komos, or carousing, revel. The komos is actually a wild party where they have a lot of licentiousness. There's a lot of illicit sexual activity. There's drunkenness, and they just party it up. It's partying. I think a lot of this goes on down in Florida during the spring break, that type of a thing. Well, Paul added the phrase, and things like these, in Galatians 5:20 in the ESV, to indicate that believers could use the list of vices he had given as a guide for discerning other vices that he had not specifically mentioned. In other words, we all know that there are other vices that you could fit in there. Maybe there's been some vices that have been developed since, you know, the time of the Apostle Paul, and Paul just said, you know what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. Well, the apostle added that just as he had previously told his readers, those who continually practice, the Greek word is proso, and it means they make this a way of life. People who make these things a way of life do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he was not warning of a potential loss of salvation if you happen to do one of these things, but he's actually calling his readers not to live like those who will fail to enter the kingdom of God and who end up in the lake of fire. In other words, why act like a person who's unsaved? This is what unsaved people do. Unsaved people who do these things as a way of life end up going to hell. Why act like that? Don't do that. So he's admonishing these people. And it's true that if a Christian does continue in living by means of the flesh or the sin nature over a long period of time, he can risk his life and God can take him prematurely. John chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16 deals with the sin unto death. That's a physical death. And that's a judgment that God has, a discipline that God has on a believer. But he does that to keep the soul saved. But this is a warning. Don't act like the unsaved. Now, in striking contrast, Paul then listed the fruit of the Holy Spirit as follows. These are wonderful fruit. Agape. Agape is objective, esteeming love. There's several words for love. The charismatics love to use the word love, and by it they mean an emotional love. That's the word phileo. This is not phileo. This is the word agapao, or agape is the noun. God so agape the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Agape is the type of love where you make up your mind that you're going to love a person, whether that person is worthy or not, and you objectively make a commitment to love that person. It's a very high form of love. It's not just an emotional touchy-feely thing. Not at all. This is a very deep thing. Then kara, which is joy. Eirene, which is peace. Makrothumia means forbearance, but it's a very technical form of forbearance. It's a self-restraint when you're bearing up under suffering wrong. When Paul gave this list, he was talking to people who are practicing just the opposite. They had very short fuses. And so instead of bearing up under being wrong, they would go ahead and they would take vengeance for themselves. And Paul says, no, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is self-restraint when you bear up under that which is wrong. And that takes the Holy Spirit. Christotes. Christotes, the King James translates as gentleness, but it's not just gentleness. There's another word for just main gentleness. This is sweet benignity. To be benign means to be harmless. And sweet means to have a positive disposition and being harmless all at the same time. If you look at the life of Jesus, this is remarkable how this shows up. Being questioned by with a high priest or someone, and he's at his trial, he answers them, and someone slaps him across the face. Now, normally the reaction is to say, hey, what in the world do you think you're doing? But Jesus didn't do that. He asked, why are you doing that? And they said, because you spoke this way. He says, well, if I'm not speaking the truth, I'm speaking the truth. Why do you strike me if I'm speaking the truth? That was sweet benignity. Jesus Christ did not get irate and come back very defensive at all. He was very benign. He was not harmful. And he was sweetness. That's something that comes from the Holy Spirit. Agathosune is the word goodness. And goodness in its general sense of just being wholesome. Pistis is actually, piste is the noun, but this is an adjective form, faithfulness or reliability. This is something that is often lacking, even in Christians today. They're not being reliable. They don't can follow through, not consistent. But this is a quality that is a product of the Holy Spirit, reliability, faithfulness. Then proutes. Proutes is mild and gentle friendliness. It's a little different from Christotes. This is a mildness, and it is gentle, but there's a friendliness there. There's an openness where you can interact with this person, and you feel comfortable in that person's presence. Proutes is something that is absolutely necessary if you're going to work with children. Being mild and gentle in the friendliness is very, very important. And then egkratia is self-control, where a person holds himself in check and makes himself get up in the morning when the alarm goes off so he isn't late for work. He makes himself do something that is not necessarily fun or it might be boring. He has a job he has to do, but it's self-control where you make it. Or self-control if somebody does something that's bad or says something that is extremely offensive, instead of blowing off, you grit your teeth and go through it, self-control. So the lesson is we function by means of our sin nature if we practice unbiblical sexual intercourse, vicious sexual sins, excessive sexual sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, animosity, strife, jealousy, turbulent wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and other such vices. However, we live by the Holy Spirit's power if we express objective, esteeming love, joy, peace, forbearance under stress, sweet benignity, goodness, faithfulness, mild and gentle friendliness, and self-control. Now, if we discern from this list that we live by means of the sin nature, we need to confess it as sin unto God for his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the beauty of this act of confession is, see, we sin when we live by the sin nature because God has told us through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's a command. We have to live by means of the Spirit. Then, after we confess that sin, this is extremely important, rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, we took a whole passage, a whole lesson in this series that we did, I think it was the first lesson, to talk about what it means to walk by means of the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is not reading your Bible and praying and giving to the church and jumping through all these hoops. Those are nice things to do, but that's not what it takes to walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is a mental activity where you launch out as you're getting ready to do a chore or, you know, interact with someone, you launch out mentally relying on the Spirit of God. And as you do that, what happens is the Spirit of God takes over and takes control. I've said this many times before, but when we have our Sunday school class in the morning and I open it up for questions, it's a little scary because I never know what I'm going to get into. And today was a big one because we had questions pouring in at us. But it was wonderful because what it does, it forces me to have to rely on the Spirit of God because I don't know what kind of question is going to come up, and the Lord provides and he guides and gives help. But this is what God wants us to do. Mentally rely on the Holy Spirit and then launch out to do the job. But he wants us to rely out mentally on the Spirit all the time for everything that we do. And that what it means. What it means to rely on the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Now, if we discern that we are living by the Holy Spirit's power, may we rejoice and continue to rely on him that we might keep on living a righteous life. Now, as a closing illustration, I want to share something with you. I talked to one of our deacons following the morning worship service this morning. He hasn't been at any of the evening services here, and he says, for some reason, Pastor, the idea of walking by means of the Spirit has been coming up in my life, and it's like I can't get it out of my mind. Walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. And he said, lo and behold, Dave Slate gets up, he does the invocation this morning, and he deals with that. And I said, guess what? We're dealing with this in the Sunday night service as well. It looks like God wants us to walk by means of the Spirit. That's what our conversation was about. And that's something that God wants us all as a church family to do. Rely constantly upon the Holy Spirit. As we do that, then God will really bless and he will lead us. Because as we are relying on the Spirit of God, he will lead us. He'll show us exactly what we need to do, what we shouldn't do, and he'll give us real peace about it. So hey, this is very simple. But it's profoundly important that we rely on the Spirit of God and not upon our own nature. In our country, in the United States, we've been taught, pull yourself up by your own shoestraps. And it's true that we need to be responsible people. We need to get out and work to earn a living and everything. But when it comes to spirituality, we can't do that. Spirituality is the opposite. Spirituality, we must rely. We must lean on God. It's just the opposite. Now, we carry through. We still go with the functions that we're designed to do, but we need to rely on God and not just lift ourselves up. A lot of Christians, and I know I did this for years myself, tried to live the Christian life by means of my flesh. And I'll tell you what, it's really frustrating because you can't do it. It's like a mouse trying to act like an elephant. It'll never work. We have to rely on the Spirit, so may we rely on the Lord.